Our talk today is called Grace Gets You Through. When you look back over your life, and I know that some of you are young, so you don't have as much to look back on as me and Slavko and Nate there, and you consider some of the things that you faced that at the time you didn't think you could make it through. The obstacle was so large, the breakup hurt you so badly, the medical report was so negative, you don't see a way. You thought you're finished. But Krishna, God, turned it around. He gave you a strength when you didn't think you could go on. He brought the right person when you thought you'd always be lonely. He promoted you. He gave you that good break. Things fell into place. Now you're further along than you could have ever imagined. That wasn't a lucky break. It wasn't a coincidence. It was the hand of God or Krishna. You should have been broke. You should have been addicted. You should have been depressed. And you should have been lonely. But Krishna made a way when you didn't see a way. You can say what I can say. I didn't get to where I am by myself. It wasn't just my good luck, my good looks, my hard work, my talent. It was the grace of God. He made things happen that I could have never made happen on my own. I think we'll all agree that none of us like difficulties. If we had a choice, we would avoid them. However, we'll have to admit, again, as we reflect, that the challenges and difficulties in our lives have prepared us for our future, and they've given us a history with our Creator, God. When you're in a tough time, you don't see a way out, instead of being discouraged and negative, I have another suggestion. Why don't you go back through and remember how Krishna turned your health around? Remember when he gave you that baby when you thought you couldn't have a child. Remember how he got you out of that trouble that you got yourself in the first place. And when you remember how Krishna's protected you, guided you, prompted you, healed you, and restored you, guess what? Your faith will rise. Your faith will get stronger. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Instead of thinking, no, I'll never get out of this problem, you'll turn it around and say with confidence, Krishna did it for me in the past, he's going to make a way in the future. You won't complain about the problem. Based on your history with God, you know deep down that he is taking you from victory to victory, from mountaintop to mountaintop, from glory to glory. Getting through this current challenge will be the fuel to get you through to the next level. The prayers of Queen Kunti from the great epic Mahabharata. She said, "My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected myself and my five sons, the Pandavas, from a poison cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly of the Kurus, from sufferings during our 13-year exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought, and now you have saved us from the nuclear weapon of Ashwatthama. Krishna, when I review your history with us, I have no more fear of calamities. I have no fear of how people or circumstances may threaten us. My only fear is of losing the shelter of your lotus feet." She said it this way, "Vipara shantu tashushata ta 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 jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhavadarshanam." I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you as our Savior again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer be seeing birth and death in this material world. Kunti is saying to us that fear goes away when we associate with the Lord through his holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kunti is not just speaking hypothetically. She has seen with her own eyes the miracles and amazing power that Krishna used to bring her and her sons out of so many difficulties. Similarly, when it looks impossible, when you don't see a way out, stay encouraged by remembering what Krishna has done for you in the past. You've seen with your own eyes the times that Krishna made a way. You thought you were stuck, but Krishna opened a door. He caused someone to be good to you. You faced the loss of a loved one. You thought you'd never be happy again, but Krishna lifted you out of the pit. He turned your mourning into dancing. Once, when Kunti's sons were in exile in the forest, their enemies sent an irascible sage named Durvasa with his 10,000 disciples to their forest ashram for lunch. This assembly just showed up unannounced and asked for lunch. Well, how do you feed 10,000 sages when you're living hand to mouth in a campsite in the forest? And if they didn't feed the sage and his 10,000 followers right away, he would curse them all to die. All they could think of in the moment was to stall for time. So they asked the sages to go to a nearby river and wash their hands and then come back for lunch. In the meantime, they asked for grace because that was the only thing that was going to save them. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There was nothing they could do on their own. Krishna appeared there. He heard that their dilemma was to come up with food for 10,000 people in 15 minutes or be cursed to die. What did Krishna do? He asked if there's any small morsel of food left in any of the pots in which they'd cooked their own lunch an hour or so ago. The Pandavas didn't know what good a small morsel of food would do towards feeding 10,000 people, but they looked and they found a little piece of spinach. They say, okay, now what? Krishna said, feed me. When Krishna, the root of all existence, the cause of all causes, the creator of millions and millions of universes, tasted that small piece of spinach put on his tongue by the hand of a pure devotee, he became fully satisfied. As soon as Krishna became fully satisfied, all the sages down at the river lost their hunger. They felt stuffed up to the neck like we do on Thanksgiving Day. Rather than going back up to the Pandava camp and insulting them by being too stuffed to eat lunch, they tiptoed away as fast as they could through the forest. And what happened there? Kunti's sons were saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you the story to go with this. Noah Webster, for whom the dictionary was named, he was a lexicographer. He was responsible for the standardizing of American English at the beginning of the 19th century. As you might imagine, he was a stickler for the proper definition of words. One day, his wife opened the kitchen door and discovered Noah kissing the maid. Mrs. Webster exclaimed, "Why, Noah, I'm surprised." Noah said, "No, my dear, we're surprised. You are amazed." A surprise refers to the unexpected. Amazement refers to being made speechless, astounded at what you see. Now, secular histories are of human achievement and national greatness. Spiritual history, real history, is quite different. It's about God's providence and God's graciousness. Spiritual history is full of both surprise and amazement. It incorporates both. It's more comedy than tragedy. The way Krishna conducts history for his devotees is with unexpected occurrences, righteous humor, astonished laughter, and supernatural miracles. You have to laugh at the promises of God. Anybody in his secular mind is going to laugh at the promises of Krishna because they're so incredible, so contrary to expectations, so improbable in light of the acceptable realities of this world. In a materialistic world, the promises of God will almost always appear ludicrous. Personally speaking, against all logic and reason, Krishna put a desire in my heart and my wife Vaibhavi's heart to build a world-class Hare Krishna temple in an area in which 90% of the people follow another religion. Now, in how many parts of the country do you find a population which is 90% church-going? Most areas in the United States, the fraction of church-going people might be more like 25 or 30%. Here in Utah Valley, 90% of the people are church-going. They also belong to the same church. Now, there are books in 2020. There weren't such books when we made our move in 1980. But now there are books written on the science behind planning a new church. They're based on extensive research and experience. They all conclude that it's impossible to plant a new church in an area where more than 50% of the people are church goers. It's impossible to plant a church where you have no members, where you have no outside resources. Therefore, the existence of this temple in which you're sitting this afternoon defies all research, all logic, all the data, all the expectations, all the conclusions of the experts. It's comedy. You just have to laugh in surprise and amazement. Surprise at the unexpected and amazed, speechless, and astounded at what you see. When tourists walk through the door to the Spanish, they come off the I-15, they see our billboard, Krishna Temple, next exit. They come here, they walk through the door, their jaws drop open. They all say, how in the world did this building get here? Now, I don't give a secular, detailed answer about human achievement, about how great and how smart and how far-sighted my wife and I were. If I did, I'd be lying. The truth is that we had no idea what we were doing when we came to Utah. We came in like the Keystone Cops, like Charlie Chaplin, like Laurel and Hardy, fools rushing in where wise men fear to tread. The reason there's a beautiful Krishna temple in Spanish Fork, Utah, had nothing to do with human greatness and everything to do with God's graciousness. He bypassed the experts, the learned, the high and mighty. He prefers to work with the fools, the dreamers, and the outcasts. I think you'll agree with me, that's the stuff of comedy. Krishna established a world-class temple in Utah because he is a prankster. He has a sense of humor. He did it because no one would have ever expected such a thing. Everyone would get amazed and astounded at the otherworldly power of Krishna. Similarly, when you face tough times and a dream looks impossible, every voice says it's not going to happen. Just remember what God has done for you in the past. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Go back and replay your victories. Relive the times that Krishna made a way. Remember how he put you at the right place at the right time. You met that person and fell in love. Remember the birth of your first child. Remember how he spared you from that accident on the freeway. If you're going to overcome obstacles, if you're going to reach your highest potential, you have to learn to remember. When you're constantly thinking about Krishna's goodness, how he's protected you, vindicated you, and promoted you, not only will faith rise in your heart, but there'll be an attitude of expectancy that allows Krishna to do great things. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. On a regular basis, our encouragement is go over the great victories in your life. Remember how Krishna gave you that job. Remember how he protected you. Remember how you met the right person. Develop the habit of remembering what Krishna has done. That will propel you forward into a bright future. It's the greatest wonder that in spite of our many failures, in spite of our many mistakes, in spite of comically coming up short time after time, Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy seems to override our shortcomings and chase us down almost in spite of ourselves. We still get the influence. We still get the acclaim. We still get the victory. And the stepping stones of Krishna's grace, we arrive where we're supposed to arrive. You don't have to get everything right. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to have a right heart. Keep God or Krishna first place, and he'll get you to where you're supposed to go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I remember a wonderful Michael Jordan Nike commercial a few years ago showing this 9-time all-star, 4-time MVP, 2-time Olympic gold medalist, this once-in-a-century icon arriving at the game, heading to the locker room. His stride is easy, his smile secretive and knowing as he moves down the gauntlet of fans and well-wishers. He walks like a winner. After all, he's Michael Jordan, the man who made the impossible seem routine and the merely difficult look easy. And yet in the voiceover, he says, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost more than 300 games. 26 times I have been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life. The really interesting thing to me is that none of that stopped God's blessing from chasing Michael Jordan down, from getting him to the top of his field. Many of you can join me today in saying that you wouldn't be where you are today if it weren't for God's graciousness. Some of the things you've done, some of the crowds you used to run with, the inattentive driving, the temper tantrums, the disrespect you've shown, the false pride should have taken you out, but Krishna showed you some of his grace, not once, but again and again and again and again. In 1969, I was sitting in a cafe in Singapore at a big round table with lots of guys from all over the world. There were fellow male travelers from Israel, Belgium, England, and Spain. There was one single vacant seat at that table. A beautiful girl walked in. She stopped in the entrance and cast her glance from left to right and back again, looking for a place to sit down. Like a puppet with my strings being pulled, I jumped up and with a chivalrous flourish, pulled out a chair for her. After that introduction, we spent a couple of platonic days together, and I got a boat ride with some friends to Indonesia, and she hitched a ride on a freighter to Australia. And no sooner was I seeing the shores of Singapore recede in the distance than I started thinking, what an interesting, talented, confident, and attractive person she was. I also started thinking that I was an idiot and a proud fool for not getting any contact information. I didn't ask for a phone number or home address, not even her last name. I only knew her as Christine. So I spent 6 weeks in Indonesia thinking that I'd blown it, thinking that I'd never see her again. Then I flew from Portuguese Timor to Darwin. Darwin in those days wasn't a place that you'd stay even overnight. So I was walking from the airport to the bus station, passing an outdoor sidewalk cafe, when I heard this female voice, "Hello there." It was as if Krishna was saying to me, "Yes, you are an idiot, but I've got your back. I'm the God of second chances. You missed her the first time, but I brought her across your path once again. Here is the girl of your dreams. Would you mind not being falsely proud the second time around?" Now, that wasn't a lucky break. That wasn't a coincidence. That was Krishna directing my steps, putting me at the right place at the right time. Not once, mind you, but twice. When I think about that, it reminds me how Krishna's in control of my life. As he was directing my steps back then, he is directing my steps right now. Maybe you shouldn't have the position that you have at the workplace. You weren't the most qualified, but the grace of God gave it to you. Perhaps that sickness was supposed to be the end, but the grace of God said, this is not your time. When you recognize what Krishna has done, that all through your life it has been His hand, His grace getting you to where you are, then it's easy to honor Him. It's easy to be grateful. It's easy to serve. It's easy to give. It's easy to worship. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know then that you're driving a grace car. You're living in a grace house. You're working at a grace job. You didn't just marry over your head. You married grace. Maybe you felt you were about to have a nervous breakdown, but grace showed up. You should be depressed, but grace sure turned you around. You could be in prison, but grace kept you out. Perhaps you even tried to take your own life, but grace kept you alive. Grace gave you that baby. Grace gave you that idea. Grace opened that door. Don't take it for granted. Keep it in the forefront of your mind. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhagavad Gita 18, chapter 66, verse, one should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of the living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto Him. There's a story about a minister who had a strange dream. He dreamt that he had died and was trying to get into heaven. When he approached the pearly gate, St. Peter told him he needed 100 points to get in. Proudly, the minister said, well, I was a pastor for 43 years. Fine, said St. Peter, that's worth 1 point. 1 point, is that all? Cried the minister. Yep, that's it, said Peter. Well, I visited a lot of shut-ins. St. Peter responded, great, that's worth 1 point. I work with young people, said the pastor. That's worth another point, said St. Peter. I developed a number of excellent scout programs, said the minister. That's worth 1 point, said St. Peter. You have 4 points now. You need 96 more. Oh no, said the minister in a panic. I feel so helpless, so inadequate. Except for the grace of God, I don't have a chance. St. Peter smiled and said, grace of God, that counts for 96 points. Welcome to heaven. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 58th chapter, 8th verse. Queen Kunti remembered the many troubles she and her sons had endured and survived by the grace of Krishna. When she recalled the many times that Krishna had saved them, she became so overwhelmed by love that her throat choked up and tears filled her eyes. She said, my dear Krishna, amidst of all kinds of dangers, I wasn't afraid. I was peaceful. I was calm only because we took shelter at your lotus feet. And Prabhupada comments further, while the Lord reciprocates with all souls, it is natural that those who love Him intensely receive His special grace, for they want Him and no one else. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The reason that any of us are here today, that we got up this morning, that we have the breath of life inside of us, is that Krishna, God, has a destiny for us to fulfill. He has assignments for us to accomplish. You may have given up on His grace, but His grace will never give up on you. He chose you before you chose Him. You might as well recognize you're a marked woman, you're a marked man. The creator of the universe has His hand on your life. If you are so astute and so intelligent as to surrender to His guiding grace, you'll be able to say along with Kunti, thank you, Krishna, that I'm still here. My enemies tried to persecute me, but they were not able to finish me off. That depression couldn't finish me off. That divorce, those legal problems couldn't finish me off. The haters, the critics, the naysayers who tried to push me down, their best was not good enough. I'm still standing. I'm still strong. I have a smile on my face. I had a setback, a disappointment, but I'm still in the game. I went through a loss, but I'm still moving forward. Thank you, Krishna, that people can't finish me off. Bad break, betrayal, rejection, or sickness cannot finish me off. Why is it? when the enemies move in like a flood, that they can't finish me off, because you, dear Lord, have the final say. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our encouragement this evening is, don't get disappointed. Don't get down and desperate, no matter what is facing you. Remember the Red Seas that Krishna has already parted in your life. You have a history with God. You've seen His grace, not once, but again and again and again and again. He will finish what He started, not in sorrow, not in defeat, not in failure. He will finish in glory and honor. Against all worldly, secular predictions, He will surprise, astonish, and amaze. He will finish with flowers showering from the skies. He will finish with the roll of kettle drums in the clouds and celestial cries of, well done, well done. All you have to do is start remembering your victories. The times that Krishna healed you, the times that He promoted you, the times that He turned the problems around. When you always remember that we live and breathe, we conquer our enemies and overcome our obstacles only by His loving grace upon us, you'll see the fullness of His favor in this life, and in the next life, you'll go back to home, back to Godhead.